Well, good morning. Welcome to The Drive. It is May 14th on a Tuesday. I hope you guys are doing well. It's about 6:40 in the morning, 68 degrees. It was storming again last night, some thunder and lightning. Our daughters came in our room, hung out for a little bit because it was so loud, but then went back and passed out. Praise the Lord. It's all good. But no damage, nothing. But this year is supposed to be so bad when it comes to hurricanes and weather, and so I'm hoping our roof and fence will be okay. It's been fine for the last couple of years, which has been a blessing. But anyway, it's nice and cool today because it has been humid. It's been summer weather, but then now the rain has blown away the humidity, which is nice. But anyway, I'm not a weatherman. I'm gonna read a verse about right after the triumphal entry of Jesus, riding down into Jerusalem, the first time he publicly declared himself to be Messiah by his actions, fulfilling scripture. Let me just read you this verse before I get on the road. It says, "And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.'" All right. There's someone coming. I'm gonna pull out of the driveway. And you know, every year when I talk about this, when I teach this, it's kind of sad. I'm just saying, okay, it's I'm sad and I'm happy because, first of all, I'm happy to be teaching the word anytime and looking into it and digging into it, and I love it. I mean, it's my favorite thing. You know, I'm called to do it, and so I just get passionate and excited about God's word. I just love it. And so I love teaching this, and I love the fact that prophecy is fulfilled, perfectly fulfilled in the actions that Jesus took, in what he did and what he said and what the people shouted. I mean, it was all prophecy fulfilled. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture. So I absolutely love that part. Love that part. But every year I talk about that, every time I teach this scripture going through the Gospels, there's some great things about it, but also it is kind of sad because this was the moment that Jesus declared himself to be the Messiah. And it seems as if the over a million people that are in Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, the sojourners, the people that came from far away and the people that came from near, like they all were together. It sounded like praising the Lord, doesn't it? Hosanna, which means save now. There were all kinds of different groups in the crowd. Right? Again, there were sojourners, there were Jews, there were Romans. There were all kinds of people. And it seemed to be like one large, like, worship moment. And don't get me wrong, I mean, it must have been powerful. Everyone just shouting and singing as Jesus is riding into Jerusalem. But you know, as you put all the scriptures together, all the gospels together, you see that he's riding in weeping. Because the children of Israel didn't know their visitation. Some in the crowd thought he would overthrow the Romans, like right then and there. Like it would be like this massive revolution and Jesus would be heading it up. Yes, he's here. He's gonna save us on this earth, you know. They weren't thinking of the spiritual, if you will. Others were just caught up in the moment. They had that crowd mentality, right? Because the fact is, although it seemed most people in the crowd were praising, you know, less than a week later, Jesus was rejected. And I'm sorry, there's an ambulance coming by. Let me wait for this guy to go by. I don't know if you guys can hear that, but I'm in a four-way stop. There he goes. All right. You know, most people would reject him. They wouldn't yell Hosanna. They would yell crucify him. Now, it wasn't necessarily the same crowd. Maybe some in the crowd who were in Jerusalem when Jesus rode in on a colt maybe some of those were where in the courtyard where Jesus was being sentenced. But either way, it's a sad thing because most of those people would go on and have that crowd mentality with the crowd yelling, "Crucify him." And so, I mean, one of the points is don't follow the crowd. I mean, I remember when I was a youth pastor, there was this kid, Joseph. His mom was godly. She's awesome. She ran the children's ministry at my last church in Southern California. She was just the sweetest, godliest woman, right? She was awesome. She still is awesome, from what I hear. She's just constant, consistent follower of Jesus. And her son, it came to a turning point in his life where he could either stay with her, live with her in L.A., or go live with his dad. And his dad was the opposite, if you will. He was into drugs. He was into just bad things, okay? Just bad things. And he didn't care if his son went to school or not. He didn't care about his welfare. He didn't. And so I remember sitting down with Joseph and one-on-one going, "Hey, man, here are the two options. I know you're leaning towards your dad because you think there's more freedom. But also, there's no structure, and it's kind of like you may drop out of school and things might not turn out well if you take that route." And I just kind of laid it out for him. He knew with the options, and I just laid it out for him, and he ended up going with his dad. And it's like, that's, you know, God gave us free will to choose him or to not, to walk with him or to reject. And I mean, that decision literally defines our future. So I'm so thankful that the Lord convicted me by the Holy Spirit before I was saved, that he used people in my life to show me the way, to give me the gospel, to talk to me about Jesus. I'm so thankful that I took that step forward. I'm so thankful that when I took that step forward, he said, "I chose you." I'm not going to get into the free will versus God's sovereignty debate. I think both are apparent as you go through the word. You know, one pastor said, "How can you reconcile friends?" I'm so thankful. I'm overwhelmed, pleasantly overwhelmed, that the Lord would see fit to take me out of the miry clay, the pit that I was in, and set me upon the rock. I knew as I read the word and heard my friends truly talk about, passionately, I mean genuinely, about the Lord, that this is the real deal. This is not some concept or some fairy tale. This is truth. And how amazing is that? Because when I sing Hosanna in the highest, when I praise the Lord, it's because I've experienced his grace and his mercy. I've seen his love in my life. I've experienced his leading. And there's no doubt, I have no doubt that God is in control, that he is leading, that he is on the throne. There's way too many coincidences every day to believe in coincidences. Like, I do not believe in coincidences. I believe that God is orchestrating things. He's running my life. As I just surrender to him, he shows me what to do next, and I simply follow. I always think this and write this. I don't know if I say this a lot, but again, surrender leads to strength. Striving leads to burnout. Surrender daily to his will and to his ways, and you'll do well. Amen. Well, hey, God bless you guys. Love you guys. Praying for you guys. We'll talk to you soon.